God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'll read it again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I want to talk tonight as we go through this series. Our message tonight will be simply this. Which Saul are you imitating? Which Saul are you imitating? Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray, God, for your guidance. And thank you, Lord, for helping all of us through various things that we faced this week, last week. We thank you, Lord, for mercy, for grace. Thank you for compassion. And, God, even in the midst of trials and adversity, which you said would come. Hallelujah. But you also said you'd make a way of escape. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. And Father, either we embrace that and believe that or we don't. But I pray, God, tonight that you would solidify our faith. I pray, God, tonight you would strengthen our faith and our resolve to continue. Matter of fact, to have the courage to continue, the courage to go forward, the courage to believe your word and to implement, to practice that which you have taught us to from the word of God. For that, Father, we'll thank you. God, help us tonight. And then, God, those who tuned in on the internet, who are watching tonight, I pray, God, you give them a double blessing tonight. God, I know that even just to watch, it takes a little bit more resolve because there's many distractions. But I pray, God, tonight, as they watch the worship service, as they experience the worship service, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would meet their needs. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Then, God, if there's anything else, yes, sir, take care of that as well. Help me to preach the word. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Baby, see that. Which Saul are you imitating? Now, a lot of times, you know how we are today, we'll say, well, you know what? I'm just me, you know. I don't imitate nobody. But you'll be surprised to find out that the Bible teaches us to be imitators. The Bible also teaches us to be examples. Now watch, this is all Bible, okay? Now watch this. Run with me, first of all, to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17. Chapter 3 and verse number 17, just one book over from Ephesians, going to your right. And look at chapter 3 and verse 17. Here's Paul writing this letter to the Philippian church, and he says in verse number 17, he says, hey guys, hey, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for what? And sample. And that word here, in sample, means pattern. It means a print. Paul says right here, you have us as a pattern. You have us as an example. And look what he says in the first part of the verse. Brethren, be followers together of me. Now, the word followers here means an imitator. It means a co-imitator of others. So Paul says, hey, I want you guys to imitate me. Hey, I want you to watch me. Now, a lot of times, we'll tell folks, now don't you be imitating nobody. But when it comes to Christianity, my dear friends, when it comes to the word of God, the Bible says there are folks that you and I should be imitating that are also following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to know who you're watching, who you're learning from, who you are gleaning from. It makes a big difference. And Paul said, now remember, now this is Apostle Paul, he's flesh and blood just like you and I are. And Paul says right here, brethren, talk to believers, be followers together, be imitators together of me. And watch this, mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now, there's some other folks you'll come across, he says. Mark them. Now, what does that mean? That word mark means to aim at, look at, observe. Watch this word. Spy. Now, it's one thing when I'm watching Sharon. It's one thing when I'm observing Sharon. But it's a different matter a little bit when I'm spying on Sharon. You tell my preacher. When you are spying on someone, you're watching them and they don't know it. There are folks, I'm about to have a spell. There are folks who are watching you and I, and we don't even know it. They're spying you, and this is a positive sense. They're spying you. They're watching you from a distance. They're back and they're watching. Now, I'm wondering, now Brett be walking around here on Facebook. Glory to God, praise God. Philippians this and Galatians that. And who's watching? I'm going to watch him. Who? Neighbors watching? Relatives watching? You know, those we think not watching, watching. There's parents. He's a youth pastor. There's parents watching from a distance. Let me see how he interacts with his kids. You know, let me see how he does them. Why he treat his kid like that? That poor boy, Michael, he just wanted that little toy. Why would he let him have that toy? If you're going to let Michael have that toy, probably let my kid have, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Folks are spying. And the Bible says it's all right. But now we're quick to say, don't be watching me. You need to watch Jesus. We get spiritual. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't watch me now. But at the same time, the Bible is very clear, my dear friends, that Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them, aim them, spy them, look at them, observe them, which walk so as you have us for an example. We're the example. See if they're lined up with our walk. Paul's following Christ. He says, now, are these folks lined up with what we're following Christ? Is it all lining up together? Watch it, spy it out. Let me give you another verse. We'll move on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. And this is going to hit those who are in leadership, but primarily it's going to hit those who are preachers and pastors and aspire to be such. Look what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. The Bible says, and he's talking, well, we read verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Watch it. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. He says right here, I want you to feed the flock, take care of them, but watch this now. Don't be lords over them. That word lords here means this. It means to exercise control or dominion over. Now, I'm not being ugly, but I wonder how many folks in that position try to lord over people or to have control over people in order to get them to do various things. The Bible says that is not to be. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but this is what I want you to do. But being and samples to the flock. That word here, once again, means a pattern or a print. You should be a pattern. You should be an example to the flock. The flock's watching you. How do you respond to adversity? How do you respond to certain situations? How do you go about preaching the word of God? Does your preach match up with your lifestyle? It's all that working together. Anybody can get up and say anything from the Word of God, and the Word of God is still true. But are you an example? Are you a pattern? Are you a print? And the Bible says that we are to be. So, my dear friends, when you start to look at it, you look at it like this. You know what? We have a big responsibility. There are folks that are watching us. There are folks that are looking at us, and they want to know, are we a good pattern, a good example? Now, before you quit, why you say that, preacher? You know how we are. Well, I'm a bad example. He didn't say quit. Right, yeah. He said be. So then, my dear friends, you start trying to strive to be that example that God would have you to be from the Word of God. I want us to ask ourselves the question, are we trying to be a good example? Are we trying to be a good person that someone else can imitate? But on the other hand, who are we imitating? Who are we? Why? I'm Jesus. I got more verses for you, baby. But I'm just giving you a couple because we got a lot of stuff we can get down here. Now, but now watch this now. So here my question is this. God, I'm going somewhere. Saul, Paul is an example. But there's more than one Saul. And the question is, which Saul are you and I imitating? Now, we are supposed to follow Jesus, but then as we follow Jesus, somebody's following us, we should all be lined up that way. Here's some verses for that. You can look at 1 Peter 2:18 and then John 13, verse 15. The Jesus Christ is the ultimate example, but you and I are examples as well. We are examples, and at the same time, we're imitators. Now, watch this. Now, let's get to the heart of the message. Now, I got some. Okay. Go with me back over to Ephesians chapter 1. I remember chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Paul tells young Timothy to be an example in word, in conversation, which is behavior, in love. He names all these things. He's telling him, be an example. But now watch this. The Bible says in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, we'll hit that latter part of that verse later, not tonight. But I do want you to do notice this so you can ponder on this thing here. Notice who he writes this letter to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. Well, should they not be the same? But they're not. A saint, somebody just blood bought and born again. But all saints ain't faithful. So he writes his letter to the saints and he says to the faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be counted in the number that's faithful, not the number that's unfaithful. Now, watch this. The Bible says here, Paul, an apostle, a messenger, one who was sent of Jesus Christ by the will of God, by the choice of God. God chose Paul to be what? An apostle. Paul did not choose himself. Paul did not volunteer. But he was chosen by God to be an apostle. And I don't know about you, my dear friends, but that's a privilege for God to come by and tap you, to choose you, to do anything for the kingdom of God. Now watch this. Now his name, Paul, means small and it means little. But you do remember he had another name before that name. And it was Saul. The word Saul means desired. Desired. And I thought to myself, who would not have a big head to know if they was the one that was desired? That make you walk around like you're a big shot. But his name was changed to Paul, which means small or little. Nobody wants to be looked at as small or little. We're going to be big time. But it's amazing how names mean something in the Bible. They mean something in the Bible. So now, his name was Saul, which means desired, but it was changed to Paul, which means little or small. Now, how did he get the name? Well, if you do a little research, you'll find out that he was a Benjamite. And I'm not going to read the verse, but I'm going to give them to you. If you can write down this verse here. I got all my writing all over the place. Look at Philippians 3:5. And they talk about how Paul was a Benjamite. But guess who else was a Benjamite? King Saul. He was also a Benjamite. He was also the first king of Israel. Not David. David was the second king. So, more than likely, he was named after King Saul. As a good name to choose. Because King Saul was the first king of Israel. So you have Saul, the king of Israel. But then you have the Saul, which is in the Old Testament. You have Saul that's in the New Testament, whose name is soon to be changed to Paul. And I began to think to myself, there is a contrast between these two Sauls. The first Saul in the Old Testament may have been the first king, but he was a king who was disobedient. And then you have Saul in the New Testament, whose name soon to be changed to Paul, and we find him being someone that was not disobedient, but who was obedient. Now you see where I'm going. Which Saul are you? Are you and I that Saul that's disobedient? Or are you and I that soul that's obedient to God's call, obedient to God's word, doing as God will have each of us to do? Now, let me hit this and we're going to be done. Now, Paul, look at Saul, look at King Saul. Run with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 13 and verse 8. Here was a man. Ooh, God's awesome. Here was a man, when he was chosen, he didn't think much of himself. Some of y'all read the, y'all did that in Sunday school with your ladies class and ladies class. He didn't think much of himself. But once he became king, he thought a whole lot of himself. But then you have Paul in the New Testament. He came out looking like he was a big shot. I'm going to tear these Christians up. But when he got done meeting Jesus Christ, he became himself a little bit more humble. He started off powerful, got humble. You have King Saul, who started off humble and got powerful. And look at the difference it took in both their lives. Now watch this. Watch, there's so much stuff and all this stuff. But we know, look at 1 Samuel, chapter number 13 and verse 8. Here we have King Saul. And King Saul started off right, but he did not end right. In 1 Samuel, chapter number 13, I should have been turning while y'all was turning. Now I'm behind. Look what it says here. And 1 Samuel 13 and verse 8. They are getting ready for battle. And there's a way they're supposed to have the battle. It's a way it's supposed to proceed. There are procedures that need to be carried out. But watch what happens with King Saul. The Bible says verse number 8. And he, well, look at verse number 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And the Bible says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But watch this. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So watch what happens. And Saul said, I'll tell you what, he ain't here yet, so this is what we're going to do. Bring hither a burnt offering to me. And the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass that soon, as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, and they might salute him, like everything's all right. But hold on, baby, the Bible says this though. And Samuel said, verse 11, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered. And that thou camest not within the days appointed. And that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore said I, oh, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I have not made supplication unto the Lord. So Samuel, know what I had to do? I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I mean, it's hilarious. He goes there. Now, and did you talk with the same verses I read? I don't see nothing about him forcing himself to do nothing. He told them, folks, go bring this. Hey, you work over here. I want you to do this right here. And he comes and tells Samuel, man, I had to force myself. It was hard. But I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I forced myself because I saw the people were scattered. And I seen the army was coming, and I know what the protocol was, but I forced myself. I wonder how many times we've done the same thing. We know what God said to do. But God ain't moving fast enough. You know, I mean, I'm the only one, but there have been times, I'm like, well, God ain't moving fast enough. So maybe I need to make some moves. Maybe I need to make some steps. And then I make some steps and mess stuff up. And then I look at God and go, well, God, you were running late. So I thought maybe you want me to do this. But wait a minute, what did God tell me to do? God's instructions hadn't changed. If God said do this, my dear friend, then God wants you to do that. But we're like, well, wait a minute. I thought what? Stop thinking and do. Amen. You ever tell your kids that? Stop thinking and do what I said do. Amen. I'm trying to think about this thing. Amen. He said, I forced myself. And watch what happens. The Bible says in verse number 13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Oh, but now, thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord have sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou was not kept. Thou was not kept. Thou was not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You were disobedient. Folks, disobedience comes with a price. And sometimes it might seem like we're getting away with stuff, but we ain't getting away with nothing. God's going to come by and say, hey. And you'll be like, I thought you forgot. God ain't forgot nothing. He don't forget nothing. And not only that, let me show you one more place over in 1 Samuel 15 and look at verse 22. We won't read all the verses, but before that, but no, God told me to do something. Go down there, destroy all this stuff, get rid of all these things, and don't save nothing. But he does anyway. And look at the Bible said in verse number 22. Well, look at verse number 20. 15, 20, verse, 1 Samuel. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea! I'm telling you, man. I mean, he reminds me of us. Right? I'm using the word us. He said, yea! I will obey the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord has sent me. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took them a spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice the Lord by God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hold on a second. Have the Lord as great delight and burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, unfortunately, this verse has been torn up, chopped up, misused, mishandled in so many ways. We'll say the words, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And then we say, you know what, I might not be doing this, or I may not be but sacrificing this or bringing this to the Lord or basically in the area of money. I might not be doing that, but I'm obedient to the Lord. No, you're not. No, you're not. And I want us to slow down for a second and read. See, sometimes we need to read slowly. Let's read slowly. He said in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. So he has the light in doing what he's supposed to do, doing the offerings and the sacrifices. But he says, behold, to obey is better. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. He never says not to sacrifice. He says obedience is better. And sometimes, we tell my preacher, sometimes we may obey in the area of giving. We'll give our tithes, give our offerings, but then we'll walk out the door and we'll do anything the Lord says do. Yeah. We're not the right fathers, the right husbands. We're not the right spouses. We're not the right type of children. We're not the right employees and all the rest. You know, we say, well, I went to church. But what about all the rest, though? Right. Yeah, but I did that. God wants us to do both, my dear friends. And when you don't do both, then you weigh on to the other, it still calls something disobedience. And that's what Saul was. Saul represents disobedience. Saul doesn't represent that which is going the right way, but really that which is going the wrong way. He started off right, but it didn't end right. Matter of fact, he ended with taking what? His own life. Took his own life. Folks, I don't know about you, but a better life means not taking your own life. A better life means being obedient to God's word, obedient to what God says. And King Saul failed, like many of us have failed before too. But hallelujah for the New Testament, because we got grace and we've got mercy, we've got forgiveness, we've got restoration. God said, hey, you come back home, baby, and I'll get you back where you need to be at. The prodigal son came home, daddy welcomed him. So maybe you and I have gotten off course in certain areas. Let's get back on course. Confess it to God. Get that forgiveness. And go forward. Let me give you this and we'll be done. Now, flip back over to the book of Ephesians. And we see, my dear friends, now here's the question again. Which Saul are you and I imitating? We see King Saul. But now look at this other Saul, whose name will be changed to Paul. The Bible says he started off as a prosecutor. Look what the Bible says over here in Acts 9, verse 1. Acts 9, and look at verse 1. He was what we would call the Antichrist. Now, hold on. When we hear the word Antichrist, we think end time. Antichrist means just what it says. You are anti-Christ. You are opposed. You are against Christ. You are opposite Christ. We have people who are anti-Christ today. They are not the Antichrist, the one we refer to when we talk about the end times, but they are still anti-Christ. And at one time, Saul, who then would be changed to Paul, he was anti-Christ. He opposed Christ. And anybody that lined up with Christ, he was against them. Now watch what the Bible says. Over in Acts 9, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, against who? The disciples of the Lord." That word slaughter also means murder. Paul wasn't just beating people, friends. Paul was murdering people. Those who were disciples of the Lord, he was murdering them. He was a prosecutor. But not only that, my dear friends, run with me over to Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Look at Galatians 1 and look at verse number 13. What the Bible says here. In verse 13, Galatians 1, verse 13, the Bible says this. Paul was giving his testimony. And Paul says, hey guys, look, verse 13. "For you have heard," Galatians 1, 13, "you have heard of my conversation." Now what conversation means? Behavior in this verse. You've heard of my behavior. What behavior, Paul? "In times past, in the Jews' religion, or in the Jews' faith, how that beyond measure, in abundance, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That word persecuted means to pursue, to drive away, to put to flight. I had the church on the run. I was wasting that church. That word wasted means to destroy it. Paul's mission was to destroy all those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his desire. That was his hunger. That was his heartbeat. But then something happened. He had an encounter with the one he was trying to destroy. And that one changed his life forever. Look with me over here now. Look at me now over to Acts. No, we don't do Acts. Go to Acts 9. I got so much stuff here, man. It's just it's crazy. But look what it says here, in Acts 9. No, we 126. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. I got to try to help our preachers cut some of the stuff and get to the meat of the stuff. Look what it says here, in Acts 26, and verse 14. Paul was a prosecutor. He was a persecutor. But then Paul is about to find purpose. True purpose. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to have purpose. Now, I know part of the purpose of God, some purpose of God, one thing is he's called me the pastor. I mean, I know that. I mean, I don't have any ins about that. He's also called me to be a husband. How do you know that? Because I got a wife. he's called me to be a father. How do you know that? Because I got children. I know those things. So the thing about it is this. I have those particular things are purposes that God has laid out for me. How am I doing in those areas? How am I doing in those areas? Now, watch this. Watch this, and we'll be done. Watch this. The Bible says this. We see that Saul was disobedient. But we see that this Saul, who then will be changed to Paul, is going to become obedient. Watch what the Bible says in verse 14. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Verse 16. "But arise, stand upon my feet, for I will appear to thee." For what? This purpose. Paul, I have a purpose for your life. And I've shown up. I've come to you for a purpose, for a reason. Watch this. He said, hey, I appear unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, a servant, and a witness, a martyr. Both of these things which I have seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Paul, I have purpose for your life. If you are a child of God, born again, God has a purpose for your life. God does not want you to simply exist, but God has purpose and reason for your and my life. Oh, glory to God. And he wants us to fulfill that purpose. Watch this. The Bible says, here's your purpose, buddy. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom thou hast sent thee. Here it is. This is your purpose. To open their eyes. That word open means to open up. That means the eyes are closed. I want you to open up their eyes and to turn them, to convert them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, which are an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is your purpose. Folks' eyes are closed. They need to be open. There's folks that are living in darkness. They need to have light turned on. And Paul, I want you to do that. Do those things. I want you to do that. Now, pause. Y'all know I'm going somewhere. What were we talking about earlier? About being an example, being an imitator. What did Paul tell them? Spy out those folks and see if they're imitating us, because we're the examples for you to follow. What example does Paul want to follow? One thing is he was opening up eyes of those who couldn't see. He was helping bring people from darkness into light. Because at one time, Paul was in darkness. He was doing things. He was unaware of what he was doing. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? You and I have friends. You and I have family. You and I have co-workers and neighbors who are living in darkness. They are blind. They can't see. Their eyes are closed. But what we do instead is we get frustrated and we get antagonized and we get all this stuff. And we don't want to help nobody then. We want to bust them upside the head. I've been telling them, preacher, they ain't listening. Okay. They don't see it. When your eyes are closed, you can't see. You hear a lot of stuff, but you still can't see it. And they'll tell you, well, I just don't see it. I don't see why I go to church every Sunday. I just don't see it. I don't see why I be going to revival. I can see why you would take off a week of work, vacation, and go to a revival meeting, y'all at y'all church every night. I don't see that. I don't see that happening in my life. I can't see this thing going on a mission trip. It costs $1,500 or $2,800. If you're going to take $2,800 and go on a mission trip, I just don't see that happening. I can't see why in the world that y'all would tithe and y'all would give offers and give. I can't see why in the world you would volunteer your time to work at the church and you ain't getting paid. I can't see that. I don't think nothing of that. See, no, the vast majority of the church is volunteer basis. Get on your Sunday school teacher. Well, I ain't there. They getting paid to teach. And they have heartaches and heart, you know, all kinds of stuff because people don't study the lessons and all kinds of stuff. I mean, Joanie, she teaches the choir. I mean, but she don't get paid to do that. My son won't get paid. She don't get paid nothing. You know, I mean, she gets frustrated that they don't listen to this CD and they won't do this and they won't do that. I mean, but she getting paid for that. So somebody can easily say, girl, I ain't nowhere. Where in the world I've been spending all my time loading down CD, learning parts and all that kind of. Girl, you're crazy. I just don't see that. Heather, you got that HIGH class. You take your Saturday and do that. And wait a minute. Don't y'all ladies have a meeting too on Saturdays? So that's two Saturdays right there. Oh my, you mean you take half your Saturdays and you go down to the church? Girl, you crazy. Stephanie. Girl, I just don't see how you spend every Saturday at the church. Yeah. I can't see how on the first Saturday you got choir practice for the youth. I can't see how on the second Saturday you have you at the church and you get choir for the youth and then you have the young adults meeting. I can't see how in the world on the first Saturday I can't see how on the third Saturday you with the ladies for the ladies meeting. And then on the fourth Saturday, you probably off. Oh, I can't see how in the world you're going to be with your hub and I with the teens. Girl, what Saturday you got off? The fifth Saturday? Well, wait a minute. There's four fifth Saturdays.
Right.
But sometimes on that fifth Saturday, they still got to come for practice. So if y'all got kids, y'all know. So basically, you're spending every Saturday. I can't see how in the world. Are you crazy? You need to cut back on some of that stuff. But when you're blind or your eyes are closed, you can't see that.
Yeah.
But then your eyes get open. You're like, man, I enjoy it. I want to go. I mean, sometimes I know I get tired and sometimes I get frustrated and sometimes, but you know what? When I look at the whole thing, I love doing what I'm doing. I love it. And what Paul says here, we're done. What Paul says right here, my dear friends, is this. In verse 19, he says, listen, I found my purpose. Verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not what? Disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to it. And that word disobedient means this, unpersuadable. Instead, I was persuaded. I was not disobedient. I'm not going against that vision. I'm not going against that calling. I'm not going against that purpose. Instead, I was obedient. What are you talking about, preacher? Obedience and disobedience can cause the difference between having a better life or an awful life. That can cause the biggest difference. Are you obedient to what the word says here, there? Or are you disobedient? You're not going to have sometimes people, a lot of times, especially when you first get saved, man, you're pumped. Man, you're pumped. You know, I mean, everybody like, ooh, look at them. Ooh, the Holy Ghost is dripping off of them. You just want God. And life is so much different. Then something happens. And we lose track. We lose sight. Something happens that gets us off the path or whatever. Something happens. And all of a sudden, my dear friends, we're not as obedient to certain things that we were before. And therefore, our life is not as joyous as it was at one time. And I'm not talking about circumstances. Because even though your circumstances might not have been great during those times, you still was doing great yourself. And that was calling people to go scratch their head. How in the world? You know? I mean, Billy Spence, I mean, he keeps the people that are mechanics, he keeps them a job. He keeps them in business. I mean, but that can be very frustrating. I mean, how many days were y'all on the road last year?
246.
I want you to understand that. 246 days away from home. And even when they were home, they was doing other stuff at different ministries and stuff and so on. And now I know somebody said, well, that's his choice. That's what he wants to do. By the same token, that some people don't see how in the world he does that. I can't see how you can be gone so many days out of the year like that. I can't see how you can spend most of your time driving. You know, 1,000 miles here, 1,500 miles here. I don't see why you're doing that. I don't see that. That don't make sense. Well, that's because your eyes are closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Russell, he mentioned about praying for him. He's going to be at Dorchester over there, helping the folks over there. What time do you get off? That's for a Monday. What time do you get off work?
About 5.
What time do you have to be there? You know. And where do you work at? Where's your location? Hammond. So what you do in 30 minutes? We ain't talking, you got to walk to the car. You got to get in the car, you got to start the car up. You got to get in the traffic. You got 30 minutes. Why in the world would you could be going home? I mean, let somebody else do that. You know? And I'm sure some of the folks, I mean, at least when I used to go, some of the folks, they nod up on you while you're preaching. You know? You prepare the message, you get your songs all lined up, and then you all, you know, ready to go and all kind of stuff, you know, and then you know. I don't see why you do that. You know? Dentist. My dentist son. You got a hard time just getting them to get the patients to come to the place to go so you can preach to them. Sometimes you got to roll them down the hallway. I don't see why you do that. They pay you to do that? What wrong with you? But why? When you are obedient to what God wants you to do, that's not a, you know, a chore. It's not something that you don't want to do. Let me preface that with this. I'm not saying that you don't ever get discouraged. I didn't say that. No, I'm not saying there's times if they would allow, listen, on Mondays is the big day that all pastors will resign. It would be, you know. I mean, because you come to church on Sunday, and you come to church on Sunday, and then you see a lot of folks that are missing that you just ministered to this past week. And then what happened to them? They said it was coming. And you can get discouraged. You don't focus on the ones who did come. A lot of times you focus on the ones who did not come. You know, and then all of a sudden you say, you know what, you ain't no good, I'm pathetic, maybe they need somebody else, or whatever the case might be, but you get, and you just resign. But, there's someone inside called the Holy Ghost that won't let you. You know, I Pam was joking with me last night, at the hospital. She said, I know why you had them, why your blood pressure went up this is for an illustration. When you saw the offering came in Sunday morning, was $57. She said, that's why your blood pressure went up. I said, really it did, you know, I mean, I didn't even think about me. I mean, but $57, I mean, the bills still going to get paid, you know. Amen. Anyhow, I'm sorry. But she said, what? But for somebody, I'm just giving examples. This passion, whatever. If you're not careful, you can look at that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then you can say, no, I ain't doing this. But if you don't do it, you're being disobedient.
Right.
And if you're being disobedient, you're not going to have a better life. You have a bruised up life. Because now your dad's going to get his belt out and have to whip somebody. You know? And this for y'all know, the offer went up Sunday night. I was talking about Sunday morning, okay? But nonetheless, though, the question is this, though. Which Saul are we imitating? The one that's disobedient or the one that's obedient? And we all know how Paul's life ended. See, he ain't lost his head. Yeah, he did lose his head. But he wasn't afraid to lose his head. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul ended his life, my dear friends, joyously. And he said, I want to cross that finish line with joy. I don't know about y'all, but I want to cross the finish line with joy. And you can have joy. It's available. The question is, which Saul are you and I imitating? Here's three questions. We done. First question is this. Which Saul does your life imitate more? King Saul or Apostle Paul? Secondly, are you truly striving to be a good example to follow? Are you truly striving to be a good example to follow? And the last question is this. Do you want to be a better example and have a better life? Do you want to be a better example and have a better life? If we want those things, you know what we need to do? Like the Bible says, ask. Just ask. You pray. You ask. God, help me have a better life. Help me be more obedient. Help me to follow you. Help me be a better example. Help me to be more like Apostle Paul and not King Saul. Father, thank you for many blessings. And I just pray and ask God that the Word of God has helped us tonight, challenged us, and encouraged us. And I pray and ask God to build us where we struggle, because we all struggle in certain areas of our life. But at the same time, you know how to energize us. You know how to replenish our strength. And I pray and ask God tonight, as those come to talk to you for a few moments, I pray God you replenish their strength. I pray God that you give them a renewed desire, a renewed hunger. And be like Paul when Paul says, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. God, help us not to be disobedient to the call that you place upon our lives. But God, help us to follow you. Probably somebody needs to come talk to you for a few moments. I pray, God, they come. Maybe they need to pray for someone or themselves. Maybe that somebody wants to thank you, Lord, that they realized that a long time ago they was more like King Saul. But hallelujah, they're more like Apostle Paul today. I pray, God, they come and say thank you. But God, whatever the needs are, help us to respond. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.